We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's Tuesday, November 2nd. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Gill, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. We're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We are covering the National Football League. 8 weeks in the books. A lot happened. The trade deadline is closely approaching. We're having some trades happening right now. We have injuries in the NFL, new leaders in the AFC. But Gabe, first off, how many pieces of candy, of your kids' candy, do you eat for Halloween?
I was going at a one-to-one ratio, multiply that by three kids. So I was eating three pieces of candy for every piece of candy any kid ate. I was stuffing down Reese's. I was very disappointed. Jeff, tell me how to handle this. My kids were given the option by a lot of our neighbors, go ahead, reach in and take one. And I had to interject and like swat some garbage candy out of their hands. I was like, dude, not a York peppermint patty. There's a Reese peanut butter cup right there, brother. Pick up the right piece of candy.
So I am like, I didn't even go up to the doors. I just stood in the street. I'm holding like bags of candy because like my wife thought it was appropriate for these kids to have like these little like baby, like little Mickey Mouse. I'm like, our kids are huge. They're gonna fill this up in two houses, and they did. And so I had to go back and dump the candy off one time. And my kids, I told you, we just let them eat whatever they want. They ate candy the entire 2 hours that we were trick or treating, and then none at the house. Like they were like stuffed. So I've had two pieces today so far. After this, I'm probably gonna have a third. I had a Milky Way and a Twix so far today.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, I'm not worried about how much they consume or I consume. I was just thinking that we got one chance. We got to learn sort of your candy food groups. You know, you don't reach for a Starburst when there's Reese's there.
Yeah, but my kids like Starburst and Jolly Ranchers and like they're not Reese's fans.
Okay. I just think you got to go chocolate based above all else.
I agree with that. I'm with you on that. Chocolate based of everything else. Yes.
Chocolate based, unless they're Sour Patch Kids, little mini bags, go for it. But Almond Joy, my wife's in there whispering in their ear, go get the Almond Joy. Almond Joy is garbage.
People like Almond Joy. It was pretty funny. So I don't know if I made this point on this show. I've made it on my radio show. Arguing over Candy Crush is like arguing over flour tortilla. Like it's just a complete waste of time. It's like the blandest thing we ever argue about on social media. At best, it's the 20th best candy. It works as the 20th best candy. Like, there's no, it's candy corn. Why do we argue about it so much? But my kids got bags of candy corn. My wife was like, ooh, I like candy corn. Like, out of the blue, it's really funny because out of all the debate we have for weeks about candy corn, it was like, just, she's like, oh, I like it. And just no, she's on the internet. No idea what's happening on social media.
Well, it's good. Coach Mike Leach would have been proud of me because I offended a neighbor. My son reached in. He hadn't seen candy corn before. He picked it up. And I literally was like, what are you doing? Put that garbage down. And this poor old lady was like, I was like, put the candy corn down. We don't eat that in this family. And I made him take a new thing.
That's so incredible. So you offended him. This is why you lost your mayoral votes for city council.
No softening of the edges here. I tell it like it is on the streets of Marina Del Rey. Speaking of telling it like it is here in LA, we got some big news. LA Rams fans are excited because they just traded a second and third rounder next year for Von Miller, who, listen, stat dorks will tell me he's still got it. He's still a great pass rusher. Well, he's making a new super team. Jeff, even though I'm kind of sort of a little bit on the bandwagon of the LA Rams, these super teams gross me out. I don't like this. I'm glad at least he's not going to Tampa Bay like every other ring chaser, but Von Miller to LA feels like cheating to me.
Okay, well, first of all, he did not choose this. He was traded. And so it's a little different than choosing a free agent. The interesting part about this trade is I don't know if this makes them a Super Bowl champion, but what it does, it continues to test the theory of draft picks versus known assets, right? Because the Rams have no draft picks. Like here, 2022, Field Yates has this, okay? The number one, the first round pick traded to the Lions. The second round pick traded to the Broncos. Third round pick traded to the Broncos. They get a compensatory pick, by the way. Fourth round pick traded. They own their fifth round pick. Congratulations. Sixth round pick traded, and they own a seventh round pick plus have an extra. So they're like, we want known assets. We're going to trade for guys that we want: Matt Stafford, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. We got them, and we're going to let draft picks go. Now, obviously, at some point, it crumbles, right? If you don't win a Super Bowl, then you have no one to replace any of these players. You haven't brought in any players. You have no depth for guys. But if guys get hurt, you're not winning anyways. But it's an interesting test because there are teams that might model this. If it works, for sure they're going to model this. Hey, we're going to get rid of basically draft picks and just take known commodities, I should say. And so, interesting. And Denver's eating the money too, so they're not even paying any money for Von Miller. But again, Gabe, I don't know if it makes them Super Bowl favorites. It definitely makes them better on defense, but not Super Bowl favorites.
Well, okay. But I mean, they already have the best defensive player anyone can think of clogging up the middle. They already had some good pass rushers. Now they have one of the best we've ever seen. I mean, you can say it doesn't make a huge difference, but their offense clearly doesn't need any help. Stafford and Kupp are clicking. Woods looks good. Every running back they plug in can run. The line seems solid. I mean, I didn't think they had very many question marks on defense, but this takes care of it, right? I mean, their biggest fear is Rodgers and Brady. Well, this is one more guy to be in their face in January.
You can never have too many players in impactful positions. Corner, defensive end, or Aaron Donald, and quarterback and left tackle. I mean, all four positions are of top quality. And so they're on the way to winning the West, especially first, obviously, and then hopefully into the NFC. But I'm not sure this makes them a better favorite than Tampa or Dallas right now.
Okay, well, we're going to get to Dallas and Tampa in moments. That was the first sort of bonus topic that I wasn't planning, but news just broke. Another thing to mention, Jameis Winston looks like he's going to be out for the year. We're going to talk about what that means in New Orleans. And then also breaking after Sunday was Derrick Henry looks like he's going to miss the whole year. Messed up foot, problems, surgery. He's gone. So the Titans, who just became the hottest team in the AFC, just beat the team that shall not be named on this podcast. They lose their MVP, but signed Adrian Peterson, huh? You'll tell me why that does or doesn't make any sense. Here's the thing. My guy Rex Ryan summed it up perfectly. There's no player in the league that means more to his football team than Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's gone. Titans, bye-bye. We're done knowing you this season.
Oh, geez. Well, first of all, the team that we don't mention just had the most glorious of plays. And the people were like, well, if he'd taken a safety, the game was over. So it's better he threw the interception. Like, sure, whatever you say, guys. I've never... Dude, I love Emmanuel, but like Emmanuel Acho tweet the same thing every week. Carson Wentz has only thrown one interception, then immediately afterwards, multiple interceptions thrown. And then it's every week. Dan Orlovsky, right? Same thing. Carson Wentz, guys, he's coming back. It's like, he's the same guy he's always been. He's not any good. All right, let's get back to Derrick Henry. It's a big loss for them. But we'll say yesterday he had 86 yards-ish, his worst game in a long time, obviously because he had a broken foot. And they won the game. They won. They came out for 14 points and won the game. Now, again, Carson Wentz helped them win the football game. 7 points were a giveaway, and they threw the interception in overtime. But the offense will be fine. But this is a great – this is Gabe. This is a great, great test case for all the data, all the talk, all the questions about whether or not it's an offensive line or running back or the running back or the play action pass fake, right? Because we talk a lot about, is it the back? Is it the establishing the run? Is it this and that? Like, Adrian Peterson doesn't make up the difference, in my opinion. I'm curious to see what he has left in the tank. But this will answer all those questions. He's obviously not the most valuable player. I mean, come on, Rex. Like, get out of here. I mean, Lamar Jackson has 17 injuries on the Ravens, and they're still 5-2. Lamar's more valuable to the team than Derrick Henry is. But his point, I think, is this, more than the player itself. It's the physical mindset, right? It's that we're going to go pound you. We're going to physically dominate a game, and we know we have a back that can do that, right? That can physically dominate that game. And maybe also from his point of view as a defensive guy, it helps the play action pass. Maybe, I guess, again, the data shows it doesn't. If they still run the ball with the same kind of number and cadence and pace, their play action pass should be fine. But this will test all of that, Gabe, and we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing I'm bummed he's hurt, but I'm looking forward to seeing how we'll answer all these questions this year.
Okay. So this show spends a lot of time directly and indirectly talking about how you shouldn't pay the running back as much money as you do, that they're a little bit more interchangeable. Even with the best guy in the game and Derrick Henry, some other guy might be able to be 80% as good in the right system. And that's sort of been our attitude around here. But I guess I would argue that Derrick Henry does seem like he is that difference-making guy. And Rex is not as wrong as he often is. I don't know why you're so quick to say that he's not the MVP. Like, the whole thing is built around his power and his strength. I'm thinking of a 4th-and-1 that they pitch it to him. He catches the ball like 8 yards deep and has to make a couple cuts and power over someone and dive for a first down yesterday to keep the game going. They only have the confidence to run that play because it's Derrick Henry back there. That's the most valuable player on the team.
Well, look, the numbers have shown that when Ryan Tannehill took over in that offense, Derrick Henry got better all of a sudden. His numbers drastically increased and improved when Ryan Tannehill took over. But here's the thing, Gabe. We can argue about this for hours if you want, but we're going to get 12 weeks of, exactly 12 weeks. We'll get 10 weeks, 11 weeks of data of games of what's going to happen without Derrick Henry in this offense. And we'll, at the end of that time, we'll tell you now the times are pretty interesting because, you know, we like to use a lot of, you know, DVOA and EPA and some of those stats when we evaluate teams. I mean, Tennessee is, the DVOA is not good for a 6-2 team. Like, I'm not even sure they're that good. So if they even kind of come back down to earth a little bit, people are going to blame that on Derrick Henry not being there, when that actually might not be the case at all. They might just come back down to earth because they're not as good as we think. They've won a couple of games in overtime. They've won – it just – so don't be fooled by that in a couple of weeks. I mean, if they lose a couple of games, it's like, oh, because Henry's not there. Now, if their offense struggles mightily, Gabe, then yeah, it could be Henry. But I don't think it'll be the problem. I just think, you know, they'll be fine. Not going to make explosive runs probably, but they're going to be fine offensively. More will be on Tannehill.
Okay. Then fantasy isn't usually your thing, but do I go put in a waiver claim for Adrian Peterson, or is like, ooh, can he find it?
He wasn't. I was looking at his numbers right now. So in 2019 with Washington, he averaged 4.3 yards per carry. Not bad. Detroit last year, 3.9. But I mean, who could run the ball Detroit? If you have Derrick Henry, I'd go get Adrian Peterson, but I'm not sure I would. I have Alvin Kamara and Joe Mixon. I'm not going to get him.
Well, la-di-da, Jeff.
Yeah.
Some of us are struggling through the season.
I think I lost this week. I had no Lamar Jackson. He was out. Matt Ryan didn't do it for me. Oh, come on.
No. Matt Ryan's bloody hand weren't helping me either. All right. Well, let's talk about a backup in Adrian Peterson and go to all the backup quarterbacks who played on Sunday. I mentioned Jameis earlier. That's a bummer. Jameis was having a pretty nice season. Then he had that kind of awkward moment. It looks like he tore his ACL. So he's out for the season, which sets up a big question about who's the actual quarterback there, your boy Taysom Hill or other. We saw Cooper Rush. That's a person. He won a game for the Cowboys on Sunday night. We saw Mike White, the Jets backup. What, I don't know what number we're up to now, but he looked better than any quarterback I've seen in New York since Chad Pennington. You know, and we got another one. There's another backup somewhere out there. I'm forgetting. Four backups were part of wins. Oh, obviously, Walker filled in for Darnold and got the win with Carolina. What's going on here? Why are backups looking so good, especially Cooper Rush?
Did a little bit of you tingle inside when you watched Mike White with the Jets? Like, did it bring some of the fandom back?
I thought about coming home. Yeah, I did. I did. Especially as New England gutted my Chargers. I thought maybe I should go back to being a Jets fan.
Mike White and Cam Newton, the first two quarterbacks, the only two in NFL history with over 400 yards in their first start. How about that?
Pretty good stat.
And by the way, the two of the interceptions were like tip passes. They weren't even bad passes. He just got tipped and popped up in the air. Very quickly before I get to the backup quarterbacks, kind of as a whole, and even in the Jetson game. So the Bengals, I don't think the Bengals are on here for a topic, but the Bengals are interesting because
get used to it, people. They're not going to be much Bengals talk anymore.
Well, this is it's important. Very quick discussion to have. I tweet this out, but I want to make this point. The Bengals are a good example yesterday of a team that is learning how to be good in the NFL. They're a good team. Like they have good players. They have good teams. You know, they have good. You know, I think their coaching staff looks like they're competent. But all week, all I saw was Bengals fans counting up their wins, Bengals fans talking about the future and the playoffs and this and that. And then you get your ass kicked by the Jets. Like, that is the NFL. It's hard each week to continue to have that mindset of one week at a time. Of, you know, every week you can win, every week you can lose, and just kind of having that mindset of learning how to be successful. And that was the lesson I took away from this game, is the Bengals just didn't bring it. They didn't bring it. And in any given Sunday, you can lose because the Jets guys, yeah, they're not very good, but they get paid too. They want to win. They don't want to lose. And so the Jets played really well. Not even really well. They played okay. The Bengals just didn't match up. Terrible call at the end of that game. But when you allow 34 points to Mike White, I don't feel bad that you had a bad call. It was impressive for Mike White, but this is, look, all this stuff doesn't mean anything to me. It just shows you that, look, Sean Payton's a good football coach. We knew that, right? He's done really well with backup quarterbacks. Andy Reid has done well with backup quarterbacks. Good football coaches, right? Geno Smith got the win, who we failed to mention, but they played the hapless Jaguars. When Russell Wilson comes back, that's Russell Wilson's job. Cooper Rush. Well, look, the Vikings are the tweets that were floating around. I fell asleep last night. I was tired. I didn't watch the end of the game until this morning. So welcome to a bunch of tweets, bro. And the tweets are incredible. Like the Vikings are a mess. There's one here. Bill Bonnerill tweeted out, Cowboys, our backup quarterback is in. So let's run a double pass with Cedric Wilson. Vikings, we have a $35 million quarterback, a superstar running back, two star wide receivers. So let's force feed CJ Ham and make sure we throw short of the sticks every third down. They're just like poorly coached. It's that simple. Cowboys didn't do anything special. Look, in the NFL, these are all pros playing. If you keep a team in a game, they always have a chance to win at the end. That's what happened. You kept the Cowboys in the game because you couldn't execute an offense. The Cowboys offensively didn't do anything special. They have good players. They got the ball in the good players' hands. They made more plays than you did. It's more about the Vikings, in my opinion, than the Cowboys. But this is a win, by the way. You have to have, if you're the Cowboys, to have the number one seed. We saw Kansas City do, you know, with when Mahomes went out in 2019, that Matt Moore won one of two games. That one game made a difference to get him that one seed. This is the type of games you win on the way to making a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Is it? I've never quite asked it this way. Are there just guys who are supposed to be backups? Like,
yes.
Right? Like, it feels like Teddy Bridgewater. I always felt like he wasn't getting quite enough credit. But every time you give him the full job, it doesn't really seem like that's the guy, but he's always been the best backup available. And he can win a stretch of games for the Saints while Drew Brees is getting healthy. And so I don't know if Cooper Rush is actually a good backup or not, but there's just these guys that are good for the quarterback room, who can play for a quarter of a season if needed, who can step in for a quarter and keep the team afloat. Why does every backup have to be seen as somebody else's future starter? You know?
Well, we obsess about things we don't know, right? And we see every now and then the backup, Tom Brady, right, become Tom Brady. Oh, that's happening again. It's right. Steve Young, Tom Brady. Like, who else is in? Is like even in that conversation of the Ryan Tannehill? I guess a little bit with he was playing Marcus Mariota. But like, it's like one of those things where we just love fairy tale stories. This is part of a fairy tale story, is these backup quarterbacks becoming what they are. And most, yeah, you're right. Most often backups are less talented. Just what it is. Still an NFL player. You're just less talented. Not as good, not as quick, not as fast. Don't have the arm at quarterback, the mental processing at quarterback that Dak Prescott has. You know, there's now obviously quarterback controversy in New York. So that'd be fun to watch, because Mike White obviously is going to supplant Zach Wilson at some point. But, you know, that's what it is, Gabe. It's just some players aren't as good as the others, and that's okay. There's plenty of players that have made a career of being a backup. I did that for part of my career. So I got a chance to play, and it was like, oh, Jeff can actually play. And I got more chances to start. And I was good enough when I played. And so that's what it is. Some people in life, like I get the first opportunity in my life to be part of this show. And hopefully I have more news at some point, but like, I'm part of the ownership group of this show where I'm trying to get off the ground. I've never been that way. I've never been part of an ownership group. I've never had to deal with like ownership issues. And I'm like, do I really want to do this? Like, do I really want to? I'd rather just be talent. That sounds like I hate that freaking word with so much passion. I just want to be the person behind the mic and not the person running the business. And like, some people just are more comfortable doing that. I like learning about kind of the ownership of things, and I've enjoyed the process. But there's been a lot of kind of ups and downs and things I didn't expect and things I haven't really liked doing. But so some people are made out to be backups. Some people are made out to be the star, just the way it is.
Okay. Well, then Taysom Hill, I think, believes that he's a star. Now he might have his chance. So let's talk about that backup situation. Trevor Siemian, lifelong backup, to your point, like, seems like everyone's favorite backup. Does an okay job. They beat Brady. Good on them. But whose job is this for the rest of the season? Because the Saints look like they could compete for a wild card.
What if the Saints go get themselves Teddy Bridgewater from the Broncos?
Maybe.
The Broncos are in file sale. Probably Taysom Hill's job, I would imagine, when he gets back from concussion protocol. I mean, he's only 34. Might as well give him a chance to be a starting quarterback now. But the thing with Taysom Hill, though, is you have to change your offense. And that offense works for 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. But this is going to work from week 9 to week 18 and then work in the playoffs again. Like, you're going to have more success in your traditional offense. That's not what Taysom Hill does. So it's not going to be Siemian, though. I don't think it'll be him. But do you get yourself Teddy Bridgewater? Like, that's the question. Or Cam. I don't think it's Cam. I think it's Teddy. I think you go get yourself Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay. Well, then I could see that happening. And then Denver does start a fire sale, even though they started hot. They know they don't have it this year. They've looked at their schedule. All right. So, but Dak, we think, returns healthy soon enough. He's in the driver's seat. Obviously, there's no quarterback controversy in Dallas. Teddy is an interesting one there. I don't actually care who the quarterback is in Carolina, whatever.
No one cares.
And the Jets thing, it's a joke until we figure out if Mike White and Zach Wilson are actually competing for a job. We'll see. So let's go to another team in the AFC who doesn't have a quarterback controversy. They just have a crappy quarterback. That's the only reason you don't love them. That's the Steelers. Jeff, I want to give you a redo. Okay. You were out on them. You've been consistently out on them this year. They beat the Browns on Sunday. I thought they looked pretty good. The defense is very good. Ben is okay, I suppose. They're winners of 3 in a row. They should have an easy one next week. Like, do you want to maybe revise your take on the Steelers? Because I feel like the bandwagon's going to get full soon.
I'm not going to revise my take on them because offensively they are what they are. Like, that's the problem. It's always been offensively. I mean, they scored 15 points in an NFL game. That's not often going to happen to you, right? They dominated the trenches. I thought that the offensive line is getting better, but the offensive line can't pass protect. Ben's throwing the ball very fast. So often, and as you saw last year, the longer the season got, Ben's arm got a little bit weaker, didn't move as well. So defensively, Gabe, no problem with them defensively, but they just aren't good enough on offense. Now, they might make the playoffs. I might be wrong about that. I mean, they're closer to making the playoffs than not. They're 4-3 right now. They haven't played the Ravens yet. They played the Brown. They lost the Bengals. So I will say that they're better than I thought, but the offense, I think, still holds them back in the end.
Okay. Only losses to what look like playoff teams, and the Raiders, maybe the Bengals, and obviously the Packers. They beat the Bills week one. I don't know. I also was like, I don't know about these Steelers.
Look, they're very well coached by USC's future head coach. And I get why he was upset about that, man. Oh, boy. I mean, imagine having the prestige of Mike Tomlin and being asked if you're going to coach USC. No offense to USC, but geez, I mean, like, that's why he was upset. I mean, imagine, again, like he said, like, yeah. Would you ask Andy Reid about this? Well, like, well, it wasn't rumored to be the USC coach, but I get what he was.
Imagine you were the head coach of Oregon heading towards a playoff run, and you were being asked if you want to take the USC coach. If we want to do this game, Jeff, we can both do it. Imagine the insult to that.
Yeah, it is very insulting. That's why it's not taking that job. Look, they're just very well coached, but they play their ass. And when you have a team that is physical in the trenches on both sides of the ball, you give yourself a chance to win each week. And when things, you know, a couple things break right here and there, it works. Now, I thought that the fake field goal was a terrible decision. Obviously, got the kicker hurt. That's not, you know, that happens in football. So they still made some coaching errors, but again, they dominated the trenches. And when you do that each week, you have a chance, no matter how bad your offense is.
All right. Well, then can we agree then that we can retire the Browns from future conversation? I already did that to the team that plays in Indianapolis. Are we done with the team in Cleveland?
Man, they're upsetting me, man. I had high hopes for them this year, and their quarterback's just not good enough. He's not.
And I'm so happy for him that he was fired up about getting knocked out of bounds, but picking up a first down.
That was so corny, dude. Like, how many quarterbacks would get up and, like, you're losing that game? You got hit, sure. How many quarterbacks in the NFL are getting up and pumping their fist and doing all that? What, not the top 15 guys are not doing it.
No, it was total amateur hour. And I mean, it would have been fun in a college game, but professional athletes are not responding to that in any meaningful way.
No,
he shouldn't really. I mean, questionable why he was even in the game at all this week. He was like, he could barely hold his arm up.
Yeah,
I mean, who knows what they shot him with, but it was sort of silly to see him out there. But all right. So we've had a hard time keeping track of who the best teams in this conference are. The Titans ascend and yet lose the best player on the team. You know, the Steelers, you're not totally sold on. The Chargers fall back. Now the Patriots are in the conversation. You know, the Chiefs aren't what we expected them to be exactly. Like, the Bills quietly clobber the Dolphins. So are they back to number one? Who am I looking at in the AFC?
That's a good question. I think the Bills are the most complete team right now. Offensively, they're a little bit up and down, right? But defensively, they're much better this year. They're playing some good defense. You know, the Titans, again, I just defensively not quite sold on them. The Raiders are 5-2. Does anyone expect the Raiders to keep this up? I don't.
Nope.
The Ravens, again, I go back to what I said, I think, earlier in this show. How long can Lamar Jackson continue to hold this team up with all their injuries? They are so beat up. Not good on defense this year. Beat up on the offensive line. Like, it's hard for them to keep doing that each week. It's going to be difficult. The Patriots are interesting. They're getting better. I mean, look, everyone shit on Bill Belichick, but it's almost like, oh, the rookie got better. What a surprise. Weird how that happens. They're not a threat to win the AFC, but they could give someone a trouble in the playoff game. The Chargers have kind of fallen back to earth a little bit, right? They're 4-4. They have some issues on the offensive line, the right side of the offensive line. They can't stop the run. But, dude, I know everyone's going to hate me doing this, but there's a team in Kansas City that just it's not – they're not that far off from being the team that they were in 2018. Not 2019. 2018, their defense was 26th. They're 31st right now. But a little bit better on defense. Offense get back on – are you telling me that they're not winning the AFC? I mean, they're not winning the one seed. But are you looking forward to them coming to your place in January as a 6 or 7 seed?
You know, for 6 weeks on this show, you asked me that question rhetorically, and I said, no, of course I'm not looking forward to them. These days, I'd welcome them. Come on in, Pat. Bring the boys. We'd love to beat up on you guys and run up about 45 points against you. No problem. They're just not threatening anymore, Jeff. And I'm not saying they won't actually turn it on when it matters, but nobody's scared of them like they used to be. By the way, Chargers 4-3. Don't cheat my Chargers and give them an extra loss. I do think the Chargers will figure it out. And it's been weird watching them the last couple of weeks, right when it looked like things were clicking and then they fall back. So who knows there? I feel like the NFL this year is sort of like the Big Ten. Like all the good teams are on one side of it. And the other half, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. What are we supposed to do with this? Like the NFC has the four teams that you think can win the Super Bowl. The AFC has none of them, at least currently, about halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel that way. But this is what makes this year kind of fun, right? Is I think when we enter the playoffs, we're going to enter the playoffs. Whoever has the one seed has obviously the advantage of the bye, right? So we're going to give that team, probably Buffalo, the like, okay, they have the one, they have to win two games in the Super Bowl. But I think it's kind of fun, man. I think the NFC is, look, the NFC has got Tampa, Dallas, the Rams, Packers. Yeah, they're more top heavy. Chiefs Packers next week, though. That'd be kind of fun. We'll see where both teams are at. I think it's in Kansas City too. So Chiefs are actually favored in look ahead line. But it's gonna be a fun last. This is a long season, buddy. We got 9 regular season weeks, 10 actually regular season weeks left. We've been through 8. We have 10 weeks left still. There is no overwhelming favorite in the AFC. I'm with you there. I wouldn't put money on anyone right now. I really wouldn't. Oh.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you a few more questions about the Rams on the other end of the break. I want to come back to the moves they made and their real chances in the NFC. And also, since we're talking about the Bills, we have to talk about the Bills may be cursed. There's a very real curse that is alive and brewing, and I want to tell everyone about it right after the break. We'll be back to Move the Line right after this.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, Jeff, we're back. I did my best greeny tease on the way to break. I really teased the hell out of it. I'll get to the Manning curse topic momentarily. First, kind of a serious one, because this is the kind of thing I'm always interested in your perspective on. Not much to joke about, though. Right in the middle of the football day yesterday, Calvin Ridley of the Falcons tweeted out word that he is stepping away from football for now. He wants to focus on his mental health. This is something that has come up a bunch in sports in recent months. We know that Lane Johnson, friend of the show, did something similar with a little less attention earlier this season. So Ridley is out, and I guess, you know, to use the format, you know, over under 45% chance we see more of this season, that more guys will feel more comfortable making statements like this and taking some time away.
So we had Lane Johnson, as you mentioned, right, who stepped away for 3 weeks. He was interesting conversation with him and Jay Glazer, with Calvin Ridley. And look, I think mental health is something that we discussed a little bit on this show, right? I saw a sports psychologist, and then it kind of turned into like a life psychologist for junior year in college till about, I don't know, so 10 years probably. I don't talk to him as much anymore, but it was very helpful. I mean, like sometimes you have things going on in life you need to talk to some about, you need to get right. And I appreciate Lane Johnson talking about it. I'm sure Calvin really will at some point. We've had other players, Brandon Brooks of the Eagles. He had to take a couple games off for anxiety, bad anxiety attacks. I know of other players who've had issues with this as well. And I'm very glad they're talking about it because it's a life issue. It's not just football players. We all have it in our daily lives. And to hear them talk about it and be accepted on a large scale, I think might make it easier, but more accepting in other walks of life as well, right? Like it doesn't make it easier that Lane Johnson spoke up. It's nice to have an advocate that he spoke up, but I really do appreciate that we're at a place now where NFL players and teams are willing to acknowledge mental health is something that we should focus on.
Yeah, it does seem like there's more. The conversation on these panels, these desks of ex-football players are getting a little bit more sensitive. And this is a topic that they're all finding a way to cover in their own way. And it's never would have been they would have had a lot of private feelings shared in the green room, and it would have sounded sort of cavemanish to a lot of us, and it never would have made air. And now these guys are talking about it in a real way because star players are talking about it. So I think that's progress.
But I also think, though, that some of us, and I never dealt with depression. I have very low anxiety. I'm very lucky in that way. And I'm good at dealing with kind of processing things in my own life. And part of that, again, was, I think, because I went to therapy for 10 years. But I think that that some of the guys talking about this, Gabe, have probably had real issues with it. Yeah. And they understand what the players are going through. They've just never been able to talk about it because it's not been acceptable for a big, strong, tough football player. Lane Johnson is 6'6", 310. I mean, he is a large individual. And to hear him talk about depression, anxiety, and things that he's dealing with lets other people that might not be the same as Lane, not have the stature, have not felt comfortable speaking about it. Well, if this guy can do it, then I'll talk about it. And I think that's how we start the conversation. I think that the panel, who you're talking about, like myself included, we've dealt with it before. So we're able to talk about it because we have life experience with it.
Yeah. And I'll add on, besides just the physical stature, like I don't know Lane like you do, but I've been around him doing some recordings and stuff. And he's an incredibly lighthearted, funny, seemingly happy person who obviously in private moments, there's some other stuff going on inside his head that he needs to work on. But you would never meet Lane Johnson and think he was anything other than the life of the party. So that makes it even more interesting for the rest of us to see, oh, wait a minute, this guy's got some actual issues going on. We should all examine this, because if he has this, anyone could.
The Lane is the best, man. He's like he's so country. I love Lane. He's awesome.
Yeah, really funny dude. So yeah. I want to go back to some football talk here and lighten things up for us with some sillier questions. So Jeff, pay very close attention to how I word this, because it's going to give you a few ways to think about it. Which LA team will be playing more games in January, the Rams or the Chargers? Now, they both will play regular season games into January, but then who's going to play more games as we go through January? AFC or NFC LA team?
The Rams. They're just better than the Chargers right now. Chargers are first-time head coach. Personnel's not as good. Scheme's not as good. It's going to be the Rams for sure.
Okay, but trick question, what if they get a bye? Now, that's one last week. Aha, aha, aha. See, I got you, Jeff. Can't answer these questions so quickly. You got to pay close attention to your old little buddy here, your producer friend.
Still the Rams.
Still the Rams. Okay. Yeah. I just think that the Chargers, who don't look great this week, make the playoffs and are the hot team when it counts. And I think Staley is smarter than everybody.
Do you coach. Chargers fan?
Yeah, Chargers fan speaking here. I just think the AFC, we just talked about it. They're so watered down. Whoever's hot at the right time could blow through the conference. They're not going to be the one seed, but they could, they could be at home for a couple weeks. I like the Chargers odds. That's all.
They both have one home game in January, by the way.
Yep. That's how that works. Share a building. All right. Next up, this is breaking news for some people, but this is starting to seem very, very real. I want to know over under 75.5%. The Manning curse is real. Let me give you some context. Every time a player comes on the Manning cast, the Monday night simulcast that the Eli and Peyton have been doing, that player loses the next game. Okay. I'm going to list off a few. Travis Kelce on week one, lost week two. Russell Wilson on week one, lost week two. Gronk week two, lost week three. Stafford week three, lost week four. And then Brady, of course, last week, he loses this week. StatMuse, thank you for the help on this one. Jeff, do you believe in this curse?
I mean, now I do. So that means that either Josh Allen, John Stewart, or Michael Irvin are have a pretty bad week. I have not watched John Stewart's new show. I don't really know how that's going to go. Michael Irvin is there arguing on First Take with – is it First Take with Stephen A?
Yeah, he could have a bad day with Stephen A.
But the Bills play – they're like 17-point favorites again this weekend at home against Jacksonville, I want to say. So if the curse is bound to end, I think, with Buffalo hosting Jacksonville.
Okay. Ooh, but man, if Buffalo loses that game, I think we have to say this is the most official curse we can think.
The Bills are in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
14-point favorites. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Urban Meyer redemption game. God, that guy looks so miserable. Why are you coaching, buddy? just give it up. Just be done with it. Go back to Fox. You were good on Fox.
I'm not so sure that's going to be what happens. I don't know what happens next.
He's not going to USC.
Oh, no. No way. All right. Well, we're going to have to keep an eye on this one. By the way, the Manning simulcast is the best thing on television right now. Jon Stewart's new show, also going to be a great watch. But I would say I would put the Manning simulcast ahead of Succession, ahead of some of the other shows we talk about on here. It's just much watch TV every week.
And by the way, Curb has been excellent so far.
Yes. Curb, I'm saving for a stretch where there can be no interruption.
I also finished Ted Lasso for the season. So
big time Lasso count out on the streets last night. It was
the most
common dad costume. No surprise. And I realized, I said to my wife, it's just because most of us have all the elements of that costume just right there in our day-to-day wardrobe. So you do something in your hair and grow a mustache for a few weeks and boom, you're Ted Lasso.
Yeah, I didn't see any Ted Lassos.
No Ted Lassos.
No Squid Game. But then again, it was mostly, I don't see any adults dressing up in my neighborhood.
Oh, well, yeah, no, the adults get into it out here. And there were a lot of Lassos and I didn't see many Squid Games. That surprised me.
I know we're saving this maybe for the final take of Over Under, but talk about it now. The dressing up for Halloween thing, if you're an adult, I don't really get it. But
well, let's get right into it. Let's do it. And I want to talk about it in the context of Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers hinted that he was in a years long Halloween costume that would pay off at Halloween. We didn't know what he was talking about for months. He was taking it very seriously. And then he revealed it. Hard for a podcast. Maybe though people can Google it right now. He revealed his costume was him as John Wick. And I think he did it because the idea of like, you asked to have me back and now I'm back and then like killing everyone, essentially. Like there's a theme here. Was this all worth it? Like why, what? What the hell was that?
Definitely not worth it. I understand that people like to dress up for Halloween because it makes them kind of like get a different mood maybe. And right, they feel, you know, get a little opportunity to act a little different and be in a costume and show some personality. But I don't get it. Like, I just, like, my wife, she went to a Halloween party on Saturday night, and thankfully I didn't have to go because she forgot to get a babysitter. I had to stay home with the kids and just watch football by myself, and I had a cigar, like the greatest time ever on a Saturday night. I don't get the dressing up thing. It's not my thing.
Yeah, I didn't put any effort into a costume this year. I just put on a bunch of things I like and called myself Gabe's Happy Place. Didn't make any sense to anyone, but that's okay. I was in my happy place.
Did your wife dress up?
No. No.
Now, I understand if you're doing it with your kids. If you're doing like a theme with your kids, okay, fine. I've done that before. But yeah, your kids are too young to worry about that.
We ran a Halloween themed 5K in the morning.
So a mini 5K?
Oh, don't do this, Jeff. You know, not full on 5K, nothing mini about it. 3.2 miles. No mini. It's not a mini triathlon, nothing like it. Full 5K. We ran it. I pushed about 90 pounds of human flesh in a stroller while my wife just ran next to me. And the winners of the race, I'm calling them winners, were dressed as a full family of UPS delivery people, including a baby in a UPS truck. So that was creative. That was worth the
effort. Okay.
Yeah. I would say if you're going to go that far, good. Otherwise, anything short of that is pointless.
Yeah. I don't really get it, but I understand that it gives you opportunity to wear something a little bit more revealing as well. Which the men don't often partake in, but it is something that is enjoyable to look at times, especially when you're in college. Yes. Now you're older, it's not as, I would say, something that I would do. But yeah, I mean, I get that part of it. That's not a part I disagree with. It's like the only part.
I think without ending either of our careers, I'll say I enjoy it more as I'm older, not less. But, you know, fewer occasions for people to dress that way when you're walking around with kids. Jeff, I think we've covered it. You got some picks to make on Thursday.
We had our first in 8 weeks. Our first. Oh, it actually went well for us this week.
Oh, nice.
Buffalo with a late cover and Dallas beat Minnesota.
Okay. So there you go.
Finally, like an actual wow, shit went well for us this week.
Okay, so keep it rolling, baby. Make some good picks this week. Spread the love around the college game and the NFL. Make us all some money.
I will make us in the Pac-12 especially. So I'll tell you right now, take Oregon over Washington, everyone. Wherever we game, we're going to smash Washington.
Okay.
Just have a lot of fun doing that. My Pac-12 picks continue to be on fire. All right. As usual, we are presented by the Varsity Podcast Network. Please rate, review, subscribe. If you listen this long, you must like me or you're my parents. But either way, leave a five-star review. Very important, very helpful to the podcast. And we'll be back on Thursday. We have a winning week. Hope to stack, I think, two straight winning weeks in a row now. So hope to stack some more. We need to go down. And yeah, guys, talk to you a couple of days.